what does it mean to be righteous? Is being righteous important to you? What does righteousness have to do with Advent? Good morning. We'll get back to those questions in a bit. God willing, we will, over the next couple of Sundays, focus on the Advent season, and we will look at Luke's message of the gospel in sharing these reflections. Today, consider with me the blessedness of being righteous before God. Our text is Luke 1, verses 5 through to 25. Luke's gospel gives us an extensive and beautiful picture of the message of the Incarnation. The Incarnation is a biblical teaching of Jesus coming to earth in human form. Luke's message of the Incarnation emphasizes that God entered the reality of human life in the person of the Lord Jesus to bring salvation to all people. After pointing out that he, Luke, did careful investigation of the matters concerning Jesus' incarnation and assuring us that the biblical record is trustworthy and reliable, he shifts the focus to the birth announcement of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. But in doing so, Elizabeth and Zechariah, an elderly couple, takes center stage in the next 25 verses of Luke chapter 1. The Bible says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly." God's reference to Elizabeth and Zechariah as being both righteous in the sight of God is worthy of our attention today. What does it mean to be righteous? Is being righteous important to you? What does it mean to be righteous, and how do we live that out in this Advent season? Well, from God's perspective, there are only two kinds of people in the world, my friends: righteous and unrighteous. This couple was numbered among the righteous because of their faith in Almighty God, who declared them righteous. They are also numbered among the righteous because their life of faith was demonstrated by a transformed life of obedience to God's will and commands. You see, friends, righteousness is both a position and a function. And the life of Elizabeth and Zechariah gives us what it means to live in this present sinful world and still being able to be called a righteous person by God. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both righteous according to verse 6. And this teaches us that we can live in this present world and please God. From Luke 1, 5 through to 7, we can learn that righteous people do not live in ideal situations. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous, yet they still suffered from not being able to conceive a child. Can you imagine the pressure this unfulfilled desire must have placed on their marriage? Can you imagine the unkind words and unkind criticism that they had to deal with? Friends, righteous people do not live in ideal situations. They face hardships and dislocation from natural and man-made disasters. They face disappointment of unfulfilled desires. They sometimes face the burden of parenting alone or even crying alone. Thankfully, you can rely on God's promise this morning that He will never leave you nor forsake you in a less than ideal situation. From Luke 1, 8 through to 10, we also learn that righteous people enjoy God's perfect timing. John the Baptist would arrive in God's perfect time. Zechariah took his turn in the temple at God's perfect time. This is even more interesting when you consider the fact that this was the only time that Zechariah had this assignment. Can you imagine what it must have been like for this couple to be praying for years without an answer to their prayer? Then God's timing arrived. My friends, when you seek to be righteous before God, you will have to wait on God's perfect timing. It is never easy to wait, but we are commanded that we should not worry, that we should not be anxious, and we can continue to rest on God's sovereignty as we await the presentation of His perfect timing. He is sovereignly orchestrating the details of our lives to bring us into the center of His will. My friend, righteous people enjoy God's perfect timing. But note, thirdly, that from Luke 1, 11 through to 17, we can learn that righteous people are often surprised by God. Zacharias was given a tremendous promise of a son that would be the forerunner of the Messiah. God often surprises us with special blessings and responsibilities. Can you imagine Zechariah and Elizabeth questioning God over the years about why it is that God has not blessed them with a child, only for them now to be surprised by this announcement that God would grant them a child? And just think about this, how God miraculously and sovereignly delayed the birth of their son, John, to align it with the season of Messiah's birth. What an awesome surprise. What an awesome honor. You may have many questions this morning about the personal circumstances that you find yourself in right now. But could it be that God has a surprise for you? Oh, my friends, don't curse your lot. God is still on the throne and He will never forget His own. No one can arrange a surprise like God can. From Luke 1, 18, we can also learn that righteous people are not perfect. Zechariah and Elizabeth were having this amazing time of their life, but right in the midst of that, their imperfection showed up. Zechariah in particular doubted Gabriel's promise. When the angel Gabriel told Zechariah his prayer has been answered and that he would have a son, he doubted because he asked, "How would this happen? Because myself and my wife, we are advanced in age." In our humanness, we may see this as nothing. Perhaps nothing is wrong with this innocent question. But Gabriel had to ask Zechariah if he really knew who was talking to him. He was an angel on special assignment from God. His words could be trusted. He was not bringing fake news or known for disinformation. My friends, righteous people are not perfect, and we must strive to be blameless before God and grow from little faith to great faith. We also learn that righteous people are disciplined by God. That is what we find in verses 19 through to 22 of Luke 1. The Bible tells us that Zechariah was silenced because of his doubt. The angel said, "You will not be able to speak until the child was born." The Bible says in Proverbs 3:12, "Whom the Lord loves, He corrects." This means that God's correction is a sign of His love and is meant for every person whom He corrects to grow spiritually. Similarly, that's how a father disciplines a child. So the correction is not to be despised, but accepted as a way to be refined and guided towards righteousness. My friends, righteous people are disciplined by God. Could it be that you're going through a discipline? The fact is, so very often, we go through times of suffering and we wonder what's happening with us. But it could be we're dealing with the chastening of God. Finally, righteous people receive the fullness of God's promise according to Luke 1. 23:25. The Bible tells us that, quote, "After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. 'The Lord has done this for me,' she said. 'In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people.' What an amazing miracle of fulfillment of God's promise. As the birth of John the Baptist was a reminder that God was faithful to this elderly couple, God wants to remind you and I that He's faithful to us in sending Jesus Christ, who was long promised, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And it is His birth we focus on and celebrate in this Advent. As you spend your days in this Advent season, my friends, strive to live a life of righteousness before God. You'll be faced with many options, many choices, but will your choices reflect your righteousness before God? The truth is, we're not called to focus on our standards of righteousness, but on the trustworthy standards of Almighty God outlined in His Word. Righteousness affects the way we lead. Righteousness affects the way we carry out our responsibilities. Righteousness affects the way we follow as people in the world and people in the church. Righteousness affects how we build our nation, whether we do so in disunity or we do so together. If you are humble enough, you will admit that God might not be able to call you righteous, because truth be told, you are very familiar with a life of sin. You can spend some time to pray this morning. Repent. Leave your life of sin today and ask God to help you, to give you the grace and strength you need to live a life of holiness on the highway of holiness that leads to heaven. Amen.